Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, March 11th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A Mariposa County supervisor was recently appointed the chair of a statewide organization that advocates for California's rural communities.
The inequity in representation at the state is one of the biggest things that challenges rural counties.
Coming up, Supervisor Miles Menetre shares his priorities for rural communities and also discusses the recent controversial end to Yosemite's reservation system. But first, these headlines. School leaders in Fresno say a student who died after collapsing at Fresno High School on Monday was a 14-year-old boy. School officials say the student was playing basketball during a physical education class. That's when he collapsed and was later taken to the hospital, where he later died. The district has not released additional details about his death. The largest immigration detention center in California will keep operating after getting official approval in Kern County. Leaders in California City formally approved of the facility, which is operated by the private company CoreCivic. City leaders say the facility, which is a former prison, met the city's municipal code requirements. The site can hold up to 2,500 migrants at a time. Civil rights groups have opposed the facility. Federal officials have also called for greater oversight over reports of unhealthy conditions. Recent military attacks in the Middle East have caused ripple effects back here in the United States. KVPR's Israel Cardona Hernandez reports that people are feeling the war's impact at the gas pump.
On a regular day, I can fill up my small truck for about $35. This week, that jumped to more than $45, and I am not the only one feeling it right now. At an Easy Trip gas station on Shaw Avenue in Fresno, drivers line up to fill up at one of the cheapest stations around. Joseph Perry fills up his five-speed Nissan here.
I refuse to drive my Suburban or my Mercedes during these gas prices.
Fabio Lopez comes all the way from Madera. He usually fills up his big truck all the way, no matter the cost. But now...
Right now, 50, because I don't have that much money in the bank right now.
At a nearby Arco, Scott Bailey, a lawyer, was filling up his boat.
My wife said, better get fill up the boat now before they get higher. Actually, my wife wants me to take her car in to fill it up as well.
As the war in Iran continues, consumers in the U.S. are far from the conflict, but not from the pain. For KVPR News, I am Israel Cardona Hernandez.
California cardroom operators have filed two lawsuits challenging new state regulations they say would eliminate blackjack-style games and devastate the industry. The California Gaming Association filed the lawsuits on Monday, opposing regulations from Attorney General Rob Bonta's office set to take effect April 1st. The Gaming Association says the rules would eliminate more than half of cardroom jobs statewide and wipe out a critical revenue source for dozens of cities. The State Department of Justice estimates the regulations will reduce cardroom revenue by $464 million annually, with much of that business shifting to tribal casinos. Cardroom operators say the rules reverse decades of settled law. Heather Garina is general counsel for Stone's Gambling Hall in Citrus Heights.
The regulation is extraordinary and unlawful in every way, and a total departure from the Bureau's past practice, purporting to outlaw the very games that the Bureau has approved since it came into existence.
The cardrooms are seeking preliminary injunctions to block the rules before next month.
KVPR's podcast, Central Valley Daily, is proud to be the Valley's only daily news podcast. And what better way to show your support for local news than to join us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's Beer and Wine Festival. We'll have live music, food trucks, and a silent auction, all along the gorgeous San Joaquin River. The event is Sunday, May 3rd, and tickets are $75. Get yours at kvpr.org. We can't wait to see you there.
And now to our main story. There are any number of obscure political offices people can hold, some of which you may have never heard of, including the Rural County Representatives of California, or RCRC. The RCRC was founded more than 40 years ago to give rural counties a voice in state and federal legislation. And as obscure as the RCRC may be to most of us, these areas face a lot of unique problems. Think of wildfire concerns in the Sierra or water issues in Napa Valley. The RCRC gives these county representatives a means to advocate for their regions. And Mariposa County Supervisor Miles Minitre was recently installed as chair of the organization's board. Minitre has served on the Mariposa County Board of Supervisors since 2016. We caught up with him to find out how the needs of counties like his vary from other parts of the state, including how changes at Yosemite National Park affect his district.
First, I'd like to just point out that RCRC's 40 counties make up 61% of the landmass of the state of California, yet only 14.7% of the California's population.
Wow.
So we're a huge landmass, we're a very small percentage of the population. Thus, when we band together to make our voices stronger as we legislate for those things we care about in rural counties, forest health and wildfire resiliency is a big part of what we advocate for. Our rural healthcare access is also quite important to us, and the less accessibility of broadband and high-speed internet in our rural counties is another area of our focus.
I'd love if you could touch on, from your point of view, what are some of the distinct differences in needs between more metropolitan communities and rural communities like Mariposa County?
Well, in my opinion, the greatest need is for equitable representation in our state legislature. The large urban counties, LA, San Bernardino, Orange County, San Francisco, they have numerous legislators in the state. Mariposa County's got one representative representing seven counties, and in the Senate, it has one representative representing, I believe, 10 counties. So the inequity in representation at the state is one of the biggest things that challenges rural counties. The urban and suburban legislators make policy that, you know, affects rural counties completely different than it does urban counties. One example is, say, transportation funding. They often include demands on bike lanes and sidewalks. And in rural counties, you know, our roads don't have enough room for a bike lane or a sidewalk. We would prefer just to have that money for our roads. That's just one example.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest need, I think, is representation, which makes RCRC so effective in us coming together as an organization to advocate for the particular needs in our rural counties.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. Anyone who's driven up through Mariposa County would know that the roads are different than on the valley floor. Your main role is serving as a supervisor for Mariposa County, and the Sierra Nevada makes up a large portion of your county, and you have a population of about 17,000. I'm curious, overall, what would you say are some of the biggest issues that your county is having to tackle right now?
Well, housing is a significant issue. We have experienced tremendous growth in the vacation home market, where a lot of the housing has been set aside for vacation rentals, and that's had a big impact on our housing. Our rural hospital, the state, again, has decided that hospitals in the state of California have to undergo this seismic retrofit, which here in Mariposa, we have a one-story concrete structure that is up here in the Sierras on granite, and we're having to look at a $30 million retrofit which is just really putting a financial burden on the hospital. And we're not sure, you know, what happens if you don't make that mandate. And that's by 2030, we're supposed to have that completed. That's a huge issue for us. Our population is an aged population that if they don't have the hospital up here, that's, you know, a trip to Fresno or Modesto. Mm-hmm. So that's a big concern. The housing's a concern. Obviously, forest fires have really taken a toll on our county. Since I came into office in January 2017, that summer we had our Detweiler fire. We've had the Ferguson fire, the Oak fire, that has just burned up, you know, a tremendous amount of acres in our county and housing. So I would say those are the biggest concerns that we have right now.
I want to end by talking about Yosemite National Park, because Mariposa County has quite a few towns that are sort of gateway communities to the park. On our show recently, we discussed the reservation system ending at the park, and we spoke with a conservation leader, Beth Pratt. She lives in Mariposa County, and she's against the decision to stop the reservations. And I wanted to get your view on that issue. Do you agree with getting rid of reservations for the park?
Well, you know, it's two-sided. There's two sides to it. The reservation system, it did try to limit, and I think probably successfully, some of the traffic that flows into the park. That argument can be made. On the other side of that argument are the folks that say that the reservation system keeps folks from coming through our town because they, you know, don't want to have the hassle of getting the reservation. It deprives them of that spontaneous, hey, let's run up to Yosemite. So I really don't have a hard opinion on whether it stayed or not. I think the bigger concern for our county is the $100 fee on non-US citizens getting into the park. We're concerned and don't know yet how that will affect tourism traffic through our community, which we're very dependent on.
Yeah, there's a balance on tourism and business, as you mentioned, but also ecological preservation as well. But it sounds like ultimately you're concerned about the community's ability to rely on that business and tourism if all these changes are put in place.
Yeah, big time. Mariposa town, so therefore the county, is very dependent on the tourism that comes through our county and through our town, both in lodging and small businesses and restaurants, hotels. And the reservation system, at first it was hard for people to get used to, and then it lasted a few years and it seemed people were figuring it out. And this was all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden they said, hey, we're not gonna do the reservation system. Some people were really happy, and then other people were like, oh, here we go again. If you've ever been up Highway 140 to get into the park at, say, the 10, 11, 12 o'clock hour, that line to get into the park can stretch for miles down the hill. And I think that's what people are concerned about. So I understand both, but it's really hard to nail it down to something that works for both. You know, allowing folks to access the park, yet allowing them to have a great experience when they do get in there. And we'll just have to see. We'll see what the difference is this summer with no reservation. And I'm sure the park will be taking notes too, and we'll just see how it works out.
That was my conversation with Supervisor Miles Minitre, Chair of Rural County Representatives of California. And you can hear our conversation about the changes in Yosemite National Park's reservation system by listening to our February 23rd episode. We speak with Mariposa County resident and environmentalist Beth Pratt. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.